check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got 'em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win if I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russell
Rocky.
Other names, trade addicts pie. Let's go.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I have a trading problem.
I am Tommy B, and I have a trading problem.
And I am John Herbert, and I have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to session 322 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And, of course, we will. There we go. Okay. And, of course, we have Frank in the chat wishing us good evening already. But as you can hear, I am leading the show again. Russ was planning on being on tonight, but a little under the weather today. So I got another one of my junkies to fill in. Tommy's back again. Tommy, how you doing?
Oh, and I froze up. Hey, everybody from Mexico. I hope y'all can hear me. I'm in beautiful Cabo. Unfortunately, the Wi-Fi is just absolutely terrible. But when Rocky calls, I answer, and he sent out the bat signal. So I appreciate you having me on today.
Yeah, so if Tommy ever sounds a little funny during this podcast or disappears for a second, you'll know why. Because his Wi-Fi is a little shaky in Mexico there, but he stepped in a pinch. I really appreciate it. But let's get to our guest. John Herbert asked me to call him Herbert. So Herbert, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful, you know. I'm glad to be on the show.
Yeah, happy to have you here. Why don't you tell everybody who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah, so I'm John Herbert. I go by Herbert. You can find me on X or Twitter, whatever they call it nowadays, at Herbert's Dynasty. I'm on YouTube. Don't do as much on there, but it's the Dynasty Den FF on there. So if you want to follow me on there, that would be awesome as well.
Okay, sounds good. So you are a first-time guest to the show, so we are going to start off with our little interview thing we like to do here for first-time guests. So, Herbert, how long have you been playing fantasy?
For about 20 years. I was thinking about this earlier today because I cannot figure out when I actually started playing fantasy. I just remember going onto one of those big computers and doing my roster on there. So that was probably about 20 years ago now. So yeah, I think I was in middle school because I remember going over before I would go to school to update my lineups, you know, back when it was I played on Yahoo. But yeah, so it's been about 20 years.
Yeah, a lot of people seem to. I started later than most people, but I'm old, so it works now. But I started earlier than people, but later in terms of age. Tommy, I don't know if you ever done the interview. I'm sure we have. You've been a guest. But how long were you in middle school? Were you in high school? When did you start? I don't remember what your answer was.
I started, yeah, in eighth grade. I was actually writing freelance for the local newspaper, and they had a fantasy competition paired with like a pick'em. So you had to pick the winners each week, and then you could essentially draft a quarterback, running back, and wide receiver. I don't even think we had tight ends as draftable players, and you could only use them once per year. And I actually won that league and won a trip to Hawaii, but I wasn't old enough to take the trip. And so I did it again, and I almost got banned from my job because I wasn't allowed to participate in this league, but I felt like playing fantasy. I was already hooked, you know?
Yeah. I actually started playing in the 90s, but I had already graduated high school at that point because, like I said, I'm hashtag old. So, but Herbert, how long ago did you get into Dynasty then?
Dynasty, it's been about 4 years. I've been wanting to do it for a very long time. And then my friend group created a league, did not include me in it. And then the first person that dropped out, they were like, please take over. I feel like they did not want me in it because they knew I would go all out in it right away. And then, yeah, that is exactly what happened. Now I'm in four leagues. I tried to join one each off season. You know, I'd rather take over Orphans. So been doing a lot of that. And yeah, just so to answer your question, about 4 years now.
Okay. You have much more restraint than I do to only add one league a year.
Yeah.
I'm in 30 plus at this point. So I have not been sticking to a one a year rule, but in the four leagues you've been in, what are some of your best trades and worst trades, whichever you want to start with?
Yeah. So my best trade I will start at. So back in 2020, it was right after a draft. I traded Kyle Pitts for Hockenson, McLaurin, Tony, and a very early 25 first. I didn't know how early that would be. And then I ended up trading Tony for a first somehow, and then McLaurin for DJ Moore in a third. So the final trade ended up being Pitts for Hockenson, two firsts, DJ Moore in the third.
That's insane. That must have been at the height of the Pitts.
It was right at the beginning, right into that really big breakout year that everyone was expecting. That was, you know, everyone got let down on. And then my worst trade, I have to say this, you know, I just traded Love for Fields back this season. So
yeah,
I'm kind of shooting myself in the foot on that one, but you know, it's,
yeah, I had a couple different, and I've mentioned them on the show, Trey Lance trades last off season. So it's all good. I'm right there with you. And I think Fields has more hope than Lance does at this point. So it's not quite as bad as me. So, and Frank in the chat saying that he feels like a lot of people's best trade is selling Pitts at his peak. And he says, including his, which is probably true. But this is the year. This is the year. what is a guiding principle you take with you in trading?
Yeah. My biggest thing is use your resources. Not enough people use resources, right? So I have a friend group that I post a bunch of trade ideas in there. I either get trashed on or, you know, they said, obviously it's a good one. Using things like Keep Trade Cut to find market values. You know, I'm on that website every day, just looking for, you know, people that I think are very undervalued that I wouldn't mind buying at that price. Also, just use resources, you know, that would be my biggest help there.
People don't say that a lot. And I think that's actually, especially the first thing you said, I really liked is about, because I do that. And I in theory know what I'm doing, and I like to think I know what I'm doing, but I ask people all the time. Like I have one guy that I talk to all the time. Like, what do you think of this trade? What do you think of that trade? And he's sort of my barometer. If I'm too far off or things like that. Do you have somebody like that, Tommy?
I sure do. It's my co-host on the Superflex Super Show, John Hogue. Because it's sort of like, you know how sometimes people adopt dogs and they look exactly like the people? I feel like that's us now. I feel like our strategies have become so aligned that it's like, okay, other me, what would you do in this situation? And it's nice to have that sounding board. I totally agree. Especially in the age of Twitter, where like, that echo chamber maybe isn't the most productive towards building winning teams. So having a solid friend group is absolutely key.
Yeah, I think it's a big help. But let's get into the quote unquote news. Frank himself admits there's not much news going on at this point still. It'll probably not until really maybe August things will start happening. Unfortunately, people may get hurt, things like that. That's actual news. But we do have, I guess this is sort of news. Ramondre Stevenson signed an extension, 4 years, $36 million, $17 million guaranteed. Obviously, we got to give the Frank commentary. He said, obviously, not super exciting, but the Patriots don't usually extend running backs outside of James White, so good sign to commitment to Stevenson. Most of the other stuff is minor, so I'm actually just going to stop right here, but first and talk about this a little bit. Does this make you, Herbert, make you any more interested in Ramondre? Or are you still basically it's the Patriots and we don't know what that offense is going to be and it's a rookie quarterback and all that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Patriots fan.
I didn't know.
So I don't mind this. I don't like the years that are on there. I'm torn on if I like it. I bought a lot of Zeke last offseason because I'm not the biggest believer in Ramondre. But I follow the money, and the money is there. So, you know, I think it does bump them up a little bit there.
What about you, Tommy?
Herbert, you need a little more optimism, man, especially as a Patriots fan. No, I kind of like this move. Oh, my daughter just, she agrees. I don't know if y'all heard that. We're both Ramondre Stevenson fans here at this house. I think that he's shown that he's a decent pass catcher. He's got great vision. Yes, he's an older running back, but we've all embraced the concept that running back is a year-to-year proposition. If I can get two or three, at most, seasons, you know, startable, low-end RB2, like, that is a win at his current market value. I know that, like, being a running back on a bad offense is not a harbinger of a lot of production, but the market seems very realistic on what they can expect out of him. And it feels like not a bad time to buy right now, just because his value feels like it's going to maintain over the next year.
Yeah. And I don't think anyone's really asking a first for Ramondre Stevenson at this point. So it's not a bad cheap-ish running back still, I think, even with this extension to buy, especially because, like I said, like I kind of alluded to at the beginning, people are so down on that Patriots offense. But like you said, he's a pass catcher too, so should be able to get you some decent fantasy points one way or the other. So I'm just going to run through, like we often do, kind of run through everything else Frank gave us here, and then we can just touch on anything that's of interest. I'll go through his camp tidbits first. Tank Bigsby has had another bad camp, apparently. I pay no attention to camps whatsoever, so thank God we have Frank. Demario Douglas, of all people, has been the best wide receiver in Patriots camp. Not sure that's a great sign. And then Russell Wilson has clearly been the better QB in Steelers camp. So those are some of the reports coming out of camp. And then we have Denzel Mims ended up going to the Jaguars, which is, Frank points out, not that big a deal, but that wide receiver room is getting very crowded with Kirk, Brian Thomas, Gabe Davis, Parker Washington, Engram, and now Mims. And then Frank always has to have his Ayuk piece of news for the week. And apparently there's still more drama. There was a tweet, I think, that came out. He said in response to a trade report, he's like, oh, I thought the 49ers weren't trading me or something like that. And so Frank asks, and I guess we can start here, and if you guys want to touch any of the other minor bits, but at this stage, is there any worry at all he actually holds out? He says he knows the Trade Addicts Pod is a big proponent of players play, and that's a lot of that's me. I tend to think no one ever is going to actually miss time, and Frank is often worried about that. So, Tommy, what do you think? Do you think we're missing any Ayuk time, or do you think he's a 49er too?
You know, I'll never say like a trade won't happen, but I have my doubts. This is their contending window. Why would they close the door at all at this point, especially with Purdy on a rookie deal? I think if we're to make a bet, it's probably that Ayuk is a 49er this year and he's gone next year.
And Herbert, do you think there's any chance he holds out, or is this just going to all be like a bunch of drama that comes to nothing?
Yeah. I think he does hold out for a little bit. I don't think he, you know, misses too much time. But I saw that he went into the meeting with Daniels or something among those lines, right, according to, Ryan Clark. So I think he's all in on going to Washington. I don't think it happens, but, you know, that would be, you know, where I can see him definitely going.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you guys. I doubt he gets traded. We just rarely see guys get – if it was going to happen, it probably would have happened by the draft. We just rarely see it happen post-draft, preseason. Maybe there's a slim chance he gets traded in season if there's really a lot of drama there and things are not working out and he's not getting playing time or something because of these issues. But That's about, I don't think anything happens before the season. I'd be surprised if anything happens at all. I'm assuming you guys are not dying to talk about Tank Bigsby or Denzel Mims or... Okay, we'll move on, unless you had something, unless you were about to unmute, okay?
No, I just wanted to say the Jaguars got their stadium approved by the city today, so they're not going to London. Just a little tidbit there.
Yep. Okay, and... and Frank says Dotson for Ayuk trade would be amazing for both sides. I'm not a big Dotson guy. I never was. So I wouldn't get that excited. I mean, I guess he'd have a chance at some decent playing time, but I'm also a big believer that the weapons make Purdy, and Purdy's not making those weapons. So that doesn't really excite me, the switch there anyway. So I don't know if you guys feel any different about a Dotson for Ayuk trade that Frank is theorizing.
No, I am probably the biggest hater of Brock Purdy. So
You have some competition here, but for me.
I got a lot of trash last year when I said he is not a great quarterback. You know, he's very inaccurate. Don't get me wrong, fantasy numbers have been there because of, you know, the weapons, but I don't see him as a long-term starter. Once Debo or Ayuk leaves, his numbers are going to tank.
Yep, I would not be surprised. Okay, so let's get this going on to the next segment, which you get to decide, Herbert. Do we want to start with the listener questions or the trades?
Let's go with the trades.
Okay, only got three this week, one between me and Tommy, which we'll finish up with. But one I believe was an outhouse challenge trade that was not by me or Russ. It was actually done by somebody in TA1, did an outhouse challenge. But which is that first trade, TA1, 12 team PPR Superflex, 1.75 tight end premium for all the leagues. And TA1, is the only one without 0.05 for return yards. So, we do have two TA1 trades. So I do have to say that this week. And we will start with that. Unfortunately, I did not pull up the tweet, so I don't know what the percentage was. But Christian Kirk and a 26 first for Travis Etienne. What do you think of that one, Herbert?
I'm a big Travis guy, you know, so I lean the Etienne side. You know, Kirk, there's a lot of different competition. You know, he is the alpha there, but I would rather have Etienne still on that side.
What do you think, Tommy?
You know, my inclination was to say the Kirk side pretty easily, just because I love the concept of banking that first. But I'm pulling up their points per game right now. Why don't you weigh in real quick, Rocky, and we can see what the discrepancy was and see if that's valued at a first.
I think this is actually a pretty good trade. I probably lean the Kirk side. I'm not the biggest ETN guy. I know he is a bit of a pass catcher, and he can produce for you. I am a big Kirk guy, though. And like you said, I would prefer, obviously, a 25 first, but getting the receiver in the first, I'm curious to see what this points per game difference is, although I think it could be a little off compared to what we see going forward, just because Kirk was banged up and Ridley was there last year. But I like Kirk a lot. We saw 2 years ago he really produced well. So if he can stay healthy again, and he can stay healthy again, and you know, I think we can see something similar to what we saw a couple of years ago. But did you get what you're looking for?
I did. Travis Etienne in TA scoring 16.79 points per game. So like that's a pretty solid starter in this format. Christian Kirk 12.6, but he did have that 3.6 point game where he did leave early. So I think you're right. I think it's going to get a little bit closer, but there is an appreciable difference. Let's say 3 to 5 points per game for our expectation moving into 2024. Is that worth a first? I think I can make up that difference elsewhere for less than a first.
And it wasn't, I was just curious what he did in 22, and it wasn't that much. He 13.8, so still a few points off there from what ETN produced. So yeah, I think it's a really nice trade. Like you said, I like getting the first, even if it is a 26. And like you said, I mean, 3 points is a big difference, but in a way, it's not a big difference. So like you said, I think you can make up those points elsewhere.
Yeah.
But our other TA1 trade, JJ McCarthy, Justin Fields, and a 26 first. So another 26 first being traded for Kyler Murray. So that's another interesting one to me. We're a very pro Kyler pod here in general between me and Russ. Tony, what are your thoughts on Kyler? And would you send Kyler for this?
Sorry, broke up there. Are you asking me on this one?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I did start with you. Sorry. Yeah, Tommy's Wi-Fi is going a little nuts again.
I'll say this. I think you're off by about a first here. I think you need to add another first to get to Kyler, in my opinion. We're not in the ballpark. This is an auto reject for me. There's a lot of risk on one side, and the other side is a pretty consolidated value and utility. I would prefer to have that and open up some extra roster spots, especially this time of year when I can pick up some free or very cheap assets to put on the end of my bench. But Herbert, what do you think, man?
Yeah, I'm definitely for Kyler on this side, you know, with, you know, the very uncertainty with Fields. Yeah, it's a no brainer. So Kyler here.
Yeah, and I agree with both of you. I do think Fields could potentially take over there, which if he becomes a starter again, makes this more interesting. But Kyler, again, Kyler is the known quantity. When he's healthy and able to play every game, he's like never produced, I think, below QB 8 to 10 on an average basis. So. And J.J. McCarthy is a total unknown. I know some people like him. I'm not the biggest J.J. McCarthy fan. I think you need – there's just too much uncertainty here for me. I can see if you're going into a rebuild of sending Kyler for this. I don't think it's an awful return, but I would prefer Kyler here. Even if you rebuild, I mean, Kyler's not – like crazy old or anything anyway. So most rebuilds, you should be hoping to come out of it most in, I think, in 2 years or so. So I still think Kyler could be viable at that point anyway. So I'm with you too. And that leads us to our final trade, which is from TA6. And Herbert's definitely going to start with this one because this is between me and Tommy. And he's been trying me to get to accept this basic trade for like a month at least now, if not more. So George Kittle, Russell Wilson, and a 25 third for TJ Hockenson. Again, it's 1.75 tight end premium, but there is a tight end on each side here. So what do you think, Herbert?
Going into last year, Hockenson was my number one tight end. So I am probably one of the biggest Hockenson fans out there. So I would have to go the Hockenson side. You know, Kittle isn't as far, you know, down the rankings. Wilson is a nice bump. The third does nothing for me in this trade. So I'm going Hockenson all day here.
The funny thing is I made Tommy throw in the third because he'd offered it to me with that. And I said, throw in the third and I'll do it. I am also a huge Hockenson guy. But I do see – I'm trying to contend this year. I do see a scenario where he does not play very early on. And I know it's Dynasty and all that, but I'm trying to contend. Kittle, I also see if something happens with Ayuk, even if it's maybe just decreased playing time because of attitude or something like that, can give Kittle a bump. So we had talked about this on another time. I think Tommy filled in for Russ, and I said that I don't hate the idea of Kittle plus for Hockenson on a contending team, and he's been trying to take advantage of that ever since. So I had to finally put my money where my mouth was. Part of my biggest hesitation was I mentioned this on the last trade, I'm of the mindset that I feel Russ is very shaky, and Frank said there's good camp reports, which is good to hear. But I just had this bad feeling Russ is not going to make it through the year. And that's I was kind of reluctant to have that be the added piece. But I just went ahead, especially because we only had two trades about 3 hours ago. So I figured, let's do it. Let's talk about it. And I said, but you got to give me the third because why not? So, Tommy, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I think in buying Hawkinson, I bought an asset that is going to descend in trade value and market value next 6 months. So that's problematic. I love George Kittle. He's my favorite tight end. So it was difficult for me to let him go. The reason I did this was more league dynamics than any sort of market prognostication. This is TA6 where J. Mike has just an absolute powerhouse of the team, and that's the way it's been for the past few years. And so it was very easy to find your way into the playoffs if you had any inclination at all. Everyone was tanking to the bottom because they didn't want to contend with this massive juggernaut. But that's not the case this year, is it, Rocky? Like, you are making your push. John Hogue has made a push. There are four or five legitimate contending teams at this point. They may not be of J. Mike's caliber, but they were crowding me out to a degree. And so I thought, let me just lengthen my window a little bit at this tight end position. Let me get a few years back. What is it costing me? Well, a third round pick, apparently, Rocky. He pulled that out. But also, Russ Wilson, if I am willing to not rebuild, but maybe reset this year, say be the 6 to 8 seed, that's okay. I can really try to use Hawkinson next year to push myself back into contention. If somebody else's contending window fails and they're willing to rebuild, then I push draft capital to them and I am contending against Rocky, let's say, and J. Mike. That was my thought process. Would I have done this trade in a vacuum? No, I would have kept Kittle and Russ, but the league dynamics dictated this for me.
Yeah. And, like I said, I am definitely trying to make – I actually did make the push last year too, and I lost in the semis, but I believe me, I checked. And if I had I had put a starting lineup in because I think we had a third player. I just did. I don't know if there was a third place game in TA, but I checked the scores, and I would have beat J. Mike in the damn championship game if I had gotten past the semis, that juggernaut of his. So – I figured I got to give it another run, especially because my team is kind of aging, whereas J. Mike's is not. So I might as well give it another try, and then I can do what everyone else was doing and tank and rebuild and all that stuff. But yeah, I think I like Kittle over Hawkinson for 24, and that was the thing that did it for me. Russ, like I said, not a big thing. And he is my QB3. It's not like I needed it like Russell Wilson, but I think he's a solid, especially if he can hold off Fields for the whole year. I think he'll produce well enough to be a QB3. Totally. Okay. So that finishes up our trade so we can get to our listener questions. First from @FF Mike Cash, favorite D&D themed fantasy football podcast, or as we talked about a little bit, Kyler Murray's dynasty value, whichever Tommy wants to talk about more.
Obviously D&D. Now, can we do a shout? I'm going to do a shout out. I'm not going to ask. Mike Cash has an awesome podcast, the FFRPG. Right now they're going division by division. But if you rewind just a few episodes, they talk about some really crazy stuff, like how to integrate AI into your dynasty process. And I just think Mike and Evan do a really good job. So go listen to them, go follow them on socials, that kind of stuff. Kyler Murray, I want to ask you guys, where does he rank in the tiering of your dynasty quarterbacks? For me, he's pretty high. I mean, he's probably QB6 or 7 in my rankings. Not that I put any out, but if I did, that's where I would have him. I really think of all of the quarterbacks in his current tier in market value, he is the highest likelihood of finishing quarterback 1 overall. Herbert, where do you have him, man? And what do you think of his 2024 outlook?
Yeah, I have him somewhere in that, 8 to 10 range. I would say probably closer to 10 for dynasty rankings, with players like Anthony Richardson in that same, ballpark. But for this year, him getting Marv, I think is gonna, he's gonna end definitely QB1. I'd say probably around, QB6 total. I wouldn't be surprised if he got up to that 3-4 mark, but that's where I have him right now.
Yeah, I think I'd have him around QB8 myself, and I was, as I like to do, maybe we'll play the game a little bit here. I put up the DLF ADP. Right on there, he's 11. There's definitely some guys I'd take that are above. I take him above that are I take over him that are above him. I can't speak all of a sudden. But let me ask a couple guys below him and just see what you guys think. Kyler or Dak?
Kyler.
Kyler or Jaden Daniels?
Easily Kyler.
Kyler or Trevor Lawrence?
Oh, come on. Huge Jaguar stand here.
Yeah, I would take Kyler. Those are the three right now. Kyler? I would take him over all three. Right above him, Kyler or Jordan Love?
Easily Kyler.
I would go Kyler. Herbert looks like he's not sure.
Yeah, it's a toss-up for me.
And I like Love. But you were going to say, I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Yeah, no, sorry. It's a toss-up. So with Jordan Love, the way he ended last year, he was just so good. So it's tough. With his first year playing, I might give the edge to Love.
Okay, so so Tommy has him up to 10. You still have him at 11 then. Kyler or Herbert's namesake, Justin Herbert?
Cousin Herbert.
Herbert Tommy? For me there. That's the breaking point for me, Herbert.
That's closer to me, I think, than it would be for most people. I probably lean Herbert. And then the last one I think would be a question. Kyler or Caleb Williams?
Kyler.
For Dynasty, Caleb.
I think I'm with Tommy. I think I lean Kyler just because – just yeah, the running ability, he's still not that old. I mean, we could look very wrong in a year if Caleb's amazing coming out of the gates, and he's certainly set up well to do so. But rookies, I always got to see it before I give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I think that's why. Or go ahead, Tommy.
There's a couple other names that I'd put Kyler in front of. I'd put him in front of Stroud, in front of Richardson, in front of Burrow. Like, you can't understate how effective he is with his legs as well as his abilities as a passer. Like, he is a unicorn player. He's just really short, and we make fun of that because it's kind of funny looking with the bobblehead.
So you said Stroud, I think, is kind of a hot take for most people. I can see Richardson. I think Burrow, a lot of people would have over him. I can actually see where you're coming from there. I think Burrow tends to be a tad overrated in terms of fantasy. I think very good real life quarterback, but so where would you? That would be like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
5 or 6, yeah.
Is that where you exactly put him right at this at point? You had Mahomes, Allen, Hurts. I assume you all have all ahead of them. Yep. Herbert, Lamar.
Yep.
And did you Richardson or Kyler?
Kyler.
Better okay, track so, right yeah, then. That puts him yeah. at 6, I believe. Yeah.
Feels like a hot take, but it's not because it's such a flat grouping at that tier where you can just you can shake up the bag, pull out the names, and like, okay, that's your rankings from 6 to 10.
Yeah, and even when we put it to the test with the names, I think Herbert came out in the same range he kind of said right at the beginning. I think he's right. He kind of ended right about 9, 10 when we did those this guy versus that guy kind of thing. So. Hope that helped, Mike, with Kyler's dynasty value there. We'll move on to the next one from @BillyDFF. What strategies do you implement to become other managers' preferred trade partner? And this is what he had here, and it didn't make sense, so I'm not really sure what he was trying to say. Something about being a good partner in the sense it can expedite other trade conversations. Tommy, this seems like a question to start with you, because I know you kind of think of some of these kind of outside the box things, playing your league mates, that kind of thing. So is there anything you do to try and curry favor from other managers or I think that's sort of what he's asking here.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately just send an absolute buttload of offers. Everyone likes to receive offers.
That's true.
I like working with the difficult managers though. I like working with people that talk trash in the chat, alienate other people because they have a limited trade market, right? So I will be that person. I'll also find people at the time of day that they want to negotiate. So MFL has a feature where you can see league mate activity. If somebody's only on in the morning, I'm going to send them offers so that they're receiving them in the morning. My kiddo entirely disagrees with this entire premise, though. I'm going to turn it to you, Herbert. How do you facilitate trades?
Yeah, so I'll start off with the friend group leagues. Always start with an offer to a player that you don't actually want. So they don't know who you're actually going after. So that's what I do in my friend leagues. And then I change up the offer to end up putting the player that I actually want in there later on. So that way, you know, I keep them off guard. But yeah, just having communication with, you know, all the players in the league. So most of the leagues that I'm in, I'm talking to most of the players once every other week, at least sending them some type of offer, see where their head's at with different players. And I'm a very straightforward type of person in those type of leagues. So I ask what they want, you know, first I send an offer. If it gets rejected instantly, I see what would get the job done.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, especially if you're not in a crazy amount of leagues like me. If you're in four, I think that you definitely got to be communicating. And probably there's other some people out there that think four or five is too many, but would be Florida how many I'm in. But with me, I think Tommy kind of said it, trying to send out offers. He's probably better at it than I am. And then when I do send out offers, I definitely try – I always try and look at what the other team might need. And I think that helps with trade partners. I don't just target certain players and then just try and come up with an equal value, regardless of what they're looking for. Or, you know, I don't try and send picks to a team that's, you know, clearly looking to contend and things like that. I always try and tailor when I do make my trade offers to the team that I'm sending it to. Do they, even in the non-points first, I mean, me and Russ always talk about until about, you know, you get into July, August, you don't really need to be worrying about lineups, but a lot of people still do. So I look at that too. Like I don't worry that much about filling my lineup. Other than kind of quarterback in Superflex, I kind of tend to buy earlier, but all year round, I'm basically looking like, does this guy think maybe he needs a running back, or does this manager think they need a wide receiver or whatever? Even if I'm not that worried about filling positions, I feel like there's a decent amount of people still out there that are. So I try and look at it that way.
Can I push back on you a little bit, Rocky?
Sure.
I think it's good to sometimes batch offers to everyone in the league as contenders and rebuilders, because sometimes you can push a person in a direction that you wouldn't go with that team, or they're just waiting for the right offer to make their team younger or to move into contention. And it might not be obvious to you what the plan is. And so what I'll typically do is at least a few times in the non-point scoring season, send both to every single manager, because it brings everyone together. They're all online at a certain day and you get to pick when that is. And so you're seeing counters and you're sort of creating league activity by not assuming whether somebody's a contender or not.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot. I generally just don't have the time to do that. So that's why I kind of do it the way I do it. But no, I think that makes a lot of sense. Like I said, especially like the fewer leagues you're in, the easier I think it is to kind of go that route. So let's go into our next question. From @MessyMessick, any tips you have for a startup auction draft, Superflex tight end premium? Going into my first one, and I have zero strategy. Have you done auction drafts, Herbert?
I've done a few. I'm terrible at them. So I'm the first one to say that any advice that I give would most likely be league losing advice on this one.
Yeah, I don't know that any of us are really auction experts here. If anyone, it's going to be Tommy, because I'm not either. I've definitely done my share. And basically what I do when I do it, and like I said, there's other people I think that could give you way better advice on this, like John Bosch or Matt Price. They're big auction guys. Dan Myler. But I try to assign a value to, like, I try and write out sort of a tier list and assign value. I basically, the very elite tier of guys at every position, I feel like should go for about 25% of whatever the budget is. And then I kind of just play it by ear from there on my own. Just this person should be worth X percent, then the next tier down should be X percent. And then I basically hunt for values. That's basically what I do. If this guy's not going for what I think I had marked him down as, then I'll probably bid. If he's going way over that, then I'm staying out. So that's basically how I do it. I also, I tend to, and maybe this isn't the best way to do it, and like, again, I don't profess to be an auction expert, but I tend to try and have a more balanced team instead of, I know some people like to go like stars and scrubs in an auction. I tend to try and, you know, get more guys at more value and think I'll put a good team together that way. But Tommy, what about you?
I mean, the world should be your oyster. You should be able to build your team any direction that you want to. You're not beholden like a snake draft to what your opponents just sort of get the honor of selecting in front of or behind you. So like, in theory, you should be able to execute any strategy you would prefer. I would recommend that folks be bold about getting the players that they want, that getting into the tiers that they want. Don't wait. If you have a tier of six players that all look the same at quarterback, wide receiver, tight end, whatever, don't wait for the fourth one. Get the second one, because you don't know what is going to happen with an auction market. It's just wildly adaptive. And also, like, build something asymmetrical. This is your opportunity to sort of zig when the rest of the league is zagging. Like, I think being balanced is a mistake because you're doing what everyone else is doing with the same amount of auction dollars. Use your auction dollars in a very different way. Try to get, you know, some form of a hoard, because people are going to assume that everyone is being balanced, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. I like I said, it tends to work out that way because, like I said, I tend to go for where I see the value, and I don't like overpaying, and I kind of feel like sometimes you have to do that to get those elite guys. So it just kind of ends up working out that way for me. But we'll get to our final question then here, which is from at Great Cat Herder. And he just says, coaching staffs you like for 2024 production. Herbert, do you have any in mind?
I like Atlanta. So, you know, I think their coaching staff is going to be obviously very different with Arthur Smith being gone. So I'm targeting Bijan every single where I can get him. You know, same thing with Drake London. So that's the one team I'm targeting, because I think that coaching staff is going to spread that ball and then, you know, use Bijan like a workhorse.
Yeah, that was the one that popped off to me, too. I also like Zach Robinson as the new offensive coordinator there. Mm-hmm. Always good to have a McVay disciple. And then just the changes they made, obviously. But the coaching comes in there. And I could see London taking a big jump thanks to that. We've seen a lot of the, you know, Cooper Kupp was a great, great player. But, I mean, we saw how he would get fed and how when Kupp was out, Puka would get fed. Like, the Rams offense seems to like to feed the number one guy. So I'm assuming that's going to be London over Pitts. And I was not a big London guy coming out, but I kind of becoming one now. There wasn't another one that really popped off to me besides Atlanta. This one is maybe a little weird because I don't necessarily love the offensive coordinator, but the Eagles occurred to me too. I just think in part just because the Sirianni offense with Brian Johnson, their offensive coordinator last year, had gotten so stale to where it really fell apart at the end of last year. They were just throwing like tons of wide receiver screens that were getting going for like -1 yard and things like that. And with the addition of Moore, maybe switching things up some, and hopefully some positive, he kind of regressed negatively last year. So hopefully he comes back to his 22 form and Hurts this year. And then the addition of Barkley, you know, that's not necessarily coaching, but I just think with that all coming together, there's so much talent there that if they can just get to a more competent level, we could see a big rise in some of these players. But Tommy, any other ones that come to mind, or anything you want to say about Atlanta or Philadelphia?
I love both of those. I think they're great elevators of offenses. Two names pop to mind. Mike McDaniel feels like an obvious one. He's not all done. He's going to be a very good offensive mind. Kevin O'Connell also came to mind. I don't love the offense, but if anybody is going to elevate, I think the Vikings offense could be interesting this year, especially at the depressed prices that everyone is currently seeing outside of Justin Jefferson. So Jordan Addison has really seen a dip. Aaron Jones, J.J. McCarthy, like there's opportunities here for ceiling outcomes that I don't think the market is priced in.
And I think Tommy's daughter agrees on this one. So, that is our last question. So that means that's the end of our show sheet, which means that's the end of our show. Kind of a short one here this week for us. Actually got it well under an hour. But Herbert, I appreciate you coming on and chopping it up with us. And I just want to give you a chance to, again, to remind everybody who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
Yeah. So the best place you can find me is on Twitter or X at Herbert's Dynasty. I told myself once I hit 600 followers, I'm going to pay for premium. I feel like that'll be a big jump for me. So I'm almost there. I'm at 5-something currently. So about to make it over that push. So that's the easiest way to find me. My DMs are always open. I have people, ask me trade advice, every other day, at least in my DM. So if someone, wants to chat football, or anything, follow me, send me a DM. That's the best way to find me and talk to me.
Okay, thanks for coming on again. There you go. Everybody go give him a follow so he can get to his goal there. I want to thank Tommy for coming on tonight, in Russ's place here. You can find him at FFTommyB. I'm at DynastyFFAddict. Make sure you're following the pod and the DAP Network, at DAP_network on Twitter. Make sure you're following the YouTube, subscribing, reviewing, all that good stuff. Helps us out. Especially some of our other shows will go live, but if you want to see us live and see Tommy and his kid playing here on the screen, then you need to subscribe to the Patreon at patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can watch the pod as we're recording and comment in the comments section like Frank and Eric did tonight. You can get into our Discord, the Cool Kids Club, lots of smart people in there talking trades all the time. And of course, we always like to finish up by reminding you to support Fantasy Cares. Frank had pointed out to me and when he sent me the news earlier today that Addison Hayes and John Byrne each did a SFB 14 cheat sheet where if you donate to Fantasy Cares, you can get their cheat sheet. So go ahead and donate to Fantasy Cares. Can help you if you're in SFB 14. Their handles are at Byron Chenko and at Amaze Hayes _. So wanted to get that little plug in too. I think that's everything. So good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy fans, that is the best. See ya.